The Rambam has been steadily building this ladder of growth, beginning with just an appreciation, a tour of the inner workings of a person's psyche, the different parts of the soul, and then began to build a recognition that sometimes different parts of the soul need fixing, need improvement, and he developed the core mitzvah of midos in the fourth parak, the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav, of divine balanced midos. In the fifth parak, moved from there to recognizing that we can put midos and the rest of ourselves at the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sixth parak was particularly a focus on, so what's the role of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in midos and out of midos, and the question of the value of taiva. And now, as we continue to build how a person can grow and combine that with an appreciation of midos, so the Rambam says, let's take a look at people at the top of the ladder. Let's take a look at Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair in Maseches Avodah Zarah describes a step-by-step progression of how a Jew can grow from awareness and contemplation to enthusiasm, to keeping mitzvahs carefully, and then different levels of ambitious avos Hashem, purity and humility, and so on and so forth. Finally, gets to at the top is kedusha ruach hakodesh tchias hamesim. So here we're looking at nevuah, really the sort of the uppermost rungs of where a person could reach. It's an opportunity. Nevuah is in a sense going to be the topic of the seventh parak. Nevuah is a topic that we know from other writings of the Rambam was something very close to his heart. He talks about Nevuah extensively in the Hakadama to Mishnah, talks about there Nevuah, its role in the halachic system. And he has a line there, he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enable me, I want to write a whole sefer about Nevuah. We don't have it as a separate sefer. Rav Shailat and others suggest that may have become a large segment of the Mor Nevuchim. And Nevuah definitely is something the Rambam thought about a lot. This is an opportunity. He here uses Nevuah both as an opportunity to think about what it can look like when you, as a person, progresses in growth, but also it's an opportunity to look at the topic of midos, which is the overall theme of the whole Shmona Prakim, sort of from a different angle. He says Chazal speak a lot about the barriers that a Navi will encounter, the barriers that a Navi will experience. No Nevuah is perfect. No Nevuah is totally unhindered. Harba yimatzei b'midrashos uvahagados, the beginning of the seventh parak, you find plenty in the literature of Chazal, the v'yesh mizeh b'talmud, even in the Gemara itself. Ki min ha-Neviim mi she-yir'es Hashem me'achorei mechitzos rabos. There will be prophets who apprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu from sort of from behind many mechitzos, many barriers. And there are others who see HaKadosh Baruch Hu blocked by just a handful of barriers. Different Nevi'im have different strengths of Nevuah. I think we may have discussed last time that Chazal, even we look at among the greatest of Nevi'im, Chazal talk about Yeshayahu and Yechezkel as not being on the same level of Nevuah. Chazal say, if you compare and contrast the way Yeshaya and Yechezkel describe their vision of the Merkava, their vision of the mechanics, what's going on in Shamayim with Malachim and Kisya Kavod, so Chazal make the comment that you get the impression that Yeshayahu had far greater perception than Yechezkel did, which is why he has a different manner in the way he describes it. So the Rambam says, look, different levels of Nevi'im, different levels of clarity. Some were very hindered in the way in which there was a lot of mechitza between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some had fewer. Lefi erech kirva samil Hashem, in proportion to how close they were to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ilui madrega sam b'nevuah, and how advanced they were in the level of their power of prophecy. Ad sha'amru, the most striking expression of this, is that Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu ra'as Hashem me'achorei mechitza achas melutashas. That, again, this is obviously metaphorical, but it's as though Moshe Rabbeinu was perceiving the divine, looking through only, blocked by only one mechitza, and it was a transparent mechitza. one, a single transparent mechitza, shekufa. And he says that's a famous Gemara telling the Bam, it's in Yivamis, that Moshe Rabbeinu was, his, the way the Rambam quotes it, his stakel bespeklaria ha-me'ira einayim. He looked through a specularia which makes the eyes shine. Let's plenty of light through. That's the gears that the Rambam has in that Gemara. He says, what's a specularia? He says, a specularia is a lens or a clear glass window. He says, the Gemara describes Moshe looking through an aspaklaria ha-me'ira, and the others looking through, other Nevi'im looking through aspaklaria sha'ina me'ira. Aspaklaria that shines, that lets the light through, versus one that doesn't. So Ram says what that means is, it says Moshe Rabbeinu was looking through a clean pane of glass, and the other Nevi'im were looking through frosted glass. They were getting the outline, they were getting the sense of things, but they weren't seeing it with the same degree of detail. So you find such language in Chazal. What does this mean? Looking through a clear pane of glass, a frosted pane of glass, many frosted layers of glass. What was this supposed to? Obviously, these are all metaphors. So what does this mean? Obviously, it's something to do with clarity of vision. And Rambam is already beginning to say, well, you get the impression what we're trying to say, not physically, but there are barriers. Every Navi has a barrier. So Moshe Rabbeinu had just one, and it was, so to speak, transparent. It wasn't that much of a barrier. The other Nevi'im have more than one. Some will have a few, some will have many, and none of them are transparent. But what does this mean? He says, remarkably, this is another way of describing what we've been talking about all along. There's another way of describing midos. It's sort of like that's what I was saying before. It's sort of like a whole new, Ram is using nevuah to approach the topic of midos from a whole new perspective. You didn't expect to find, we looked at that Gemara, we didn't say, oh yeah, the Gemara is talking about the midos of different Nevi'im. The Rambam says, that's how he understands it. Hakavana b'zeh ha'inyan, what Chazal are driving at, Masha Or Melecha. And I'm about to describe. So, Anukvar b'yarnar perek ha'shin, we already explained in the second perek, ki ha milos, mehem milos sichlios, mehem milos midos, midosios. We already described at the very beginning, as soon as we completed the sort of the overall sketch, overall tour of the psyche and the soul in the first parak, in the second parak we began to talk about human strengths, that there are intellectual strengths, and there are strengths of midos, of personality. And, in terms of people's weaknesses, prisios can be prisios sichlios. Some will have intellectual weaknesses, intellectual disadvantages, kasichlos, vehatipshus, kshihavana, an inability to understand, he discussed last time, may have inability to remember, difficulty in different types of thinking, in different types of reasoning. That's one sort of disadvantage a person can be at, an intellectual disadvantage, or I can have a weakness, a disadvantage in midos. Rov ha, I have inappropriate midos. Rov ha-taiva, I allow my desires to run my life rather than moderating the way in which I engage my desires. Or gaiva, I can be arrogant, kas, kina, anger, envy, azos, chutzpah, avos ha-mamon, someone who's loves money too much. U'mashadom alehen, dehein rabos mod. There are many milos and midos, there are many chesronos and midos, because there are many dimensions to the human personality, many dimensions and midos. This is that we already discussed, that there can be strengths or weaknesses in the intellectual sphere and in the sphere of midos. Uchavar zacharnu v'hachok b'diyason b'perek revi. In the fourth parak, now the Rambam is sort of reviewing where we've been, in the fourth parak we spoke about the fact that this isn't just a neutral reality. There could be advantages and disadvantages, intellection and midos. But in the fourth paragraph, he developed the idea that Kadosh Baruch has expectations of us in terms of midos. That's the mitzvah of Alach de Bedrachav. And he says, well, Elu aprisios bichlalon, not only does every Jew have a mitzvah to seek to polish his midos, but to the extent that one has weaknesses in one's midos, They are also mechitzos hamavdilos bein ha'adam and Hashem Yisrael. Rav Shal wants us. Well, he says a weakness in me, a midah ra'ah, will be a mechitza between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, after all, it's not only the world of Nevuah. The Navi describes this, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, im avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem uvein levein elokeichem. Your sins were getting in the way between you and Ribbono Shel Olam. So these weaknesses, these areas in which I'm not yet properly developed, it's going to be in between. It's going to get in between me and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chataeinu vein elu haros. Our sins are these weaknesses, these bad aspects. Hein mechitzas amavdilos beinenu vein elu yisal. They are mechitzas that get in the way of the strength of our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. So a bad midah isn't just a bad midah. It's not just a violation of a mitzvah. It's a violation of a mitzvah because midos ros are these mechitzas between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at this point, so far, he's talking about all human beings, all Jews, not just Nevi'im. For all of us, it's true. Appreciate that when you and I have a midah ra, it gets between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I don't treat people well, if I'm envious, if I have rough edges, if I'm too focused on, if money becomes the goal instead of the means, all the binos ra'os he was describing, not only does it make me unpleasant, it's a mechitza between me and other people, he says it's also mechitza to me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that itself is like a remarkable idea. So you usually don't think about that. You don't think about it that way. Every once in a while, Chazal will say, a person's arrogant, so it's going to, person's arrogant, ain't any of a who, right? The Gemara describes Kadosh Baruch Hu, so people say, he and I, there's not enough room for he and I to be in the same world, right? You're kind of Kadosh Baruch Hu out of your reality by being arrogant. But I'm going to say, it's not just arrogance. It's not just kas. The Gemara says a person is angry, kilo over avodah zarah. So that definitely sounds like kas gets between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very big way. The Rambam is saying, it's true for all of these. All the midos ros are not only barriers between me and other people, they're barriers between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you stop to think about it, well, yeah. After all, for the Rambam, the mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvah which includes all midos tovos is valachta b'drachav. It's not just to have, pleasant midos, to have good midos, is to have divine, to emulate the divine. If you stop and think about it, stands to reason that it's not just, here's my opportunity to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu plugs me into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the extent that I'm not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm unplugging myself. And it becomes a barrier. It becomes a barrier. And where he is about to go is, now we'll take it back to Nevuah. It's a barrier for all of us. So one of the things we see from the, Rambam saying from the, appreciate the language of the Agada, the fact that Chazal describe, these barriers that in Yeshaya, Yechezkel, every great Navi had certain barriers to his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It had certain barriers, even on an incredible level, but could have been on a higher level if not for these barriers. What were those barriers? Even for people of such extraordinary measure, chisronos and minos. He's going to develop that. But we'll see soon, take a question, then we'll see soon how he talks, how he unpacks in the world of Nevuah. But it's worth saying, as I was saying before, Nevuah helps us appreciate us too. We're not on the level of, I can speak for myself, definitely not on the level of, I'm not a Navi, not just because I live in an era that's not an era of Nevuah. Halavai, we should be in that Madrega. But even for people, mere mortals, who are nowhere near the level of Nevuah, but if Midos Ros are barriers even for the Navi, between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can be true for any human being. Certainly for us. A Midah Ra is going to be to appreciate what it is, and appreciate the impact, and positively understand that every bit of polishing I do to my midos is not only, my spouse will enjoy my company more, and my kids and my friends and so on and so forth, but my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be vastly, vastly improved. Michael.
So it seems to crystallize the idea that every Ben Adam LaChavero has a direct Ben Adam LaMacho component to it. That every way in which I am positively or not positively relating and dealing with my fellow Jew is directly corresponding and correlating with the closeness that I'm having to HaKadosh
Baruch. That's interesting.
Am I saying that?
I think you touched on an important point. I was thinking specifically about Midos, but you're saying, look, to the extent that all Ben Adam LaChaveros are driven by Midos, so really all Ben Adam LaChaveros become opportunities to either narrow the distance to me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu or expand that distance. And then I'm thinking, it actually takes us back to the previous parak in a very interesting way. Because the previous parak, remember the Rambam has been talking about, the place of Yetzer Hara and sort of differentiating between Yetzer Hara and the world of Chukim versus Mishpatim, the Shemios versus Sichos, which is loosely speaking, Be'am L'Malkim versus Be'am L'Chaver, loosely speaking. And there has sort of been differentiating. It's interesting, but at the same time, every Midah, which I think is what's driving the previous parak, ultimately is a Be'am L'Malkim angle as well. So, as much as they're two separate areas, but you're right, there's very deep interplay. So let's take a look at what it says about, let's move on to the third paragraph. He's going to bring this idea of the Midos being Mavdilim back to understand that that's what we mean when we talk about the Mechitzos that Nevi'im experience. Veda. He called Navi. Kol Navi lo yisnabe ela achar sheyikanu lo ha-mailos ha-sichlios kulun. He says, let me demonstrate. When I was talking about these strengths that a person can develop intellectually and morally, ethically in terms of Midos, those are necessary for a Navi. And I'll show you, he says, I'll show you that Chazal say it. You need, and he says specifically, in order for an individual to be a Navi, that person needs hamas hasichios kulon. He needs the full battery of intellectual strengths and rove malos hamidos v'chazakal shebahen. And I need most of the strengths in midos, and specifically the most powerful midos tavos. Interesting. You need the full complement of intellectual power and most of the midos tavos. You don't have to have every midah tova in place to be a Navi. You have to have the most Midos Tovas in place, and certainly there are key ones, core Midos Tovas that need to be in place. And you have to have all of the Malos HaSichlios. He says, how do I know? Yeah?
That's because nobody's perfect. There's always...
Right, right.
You can't say all, because then we would...
Then we would have no one. We would have no one. Right. And how do you get... So you could say, oh, he just logically figured it has to be that way. He says, well, Chazal actually said it. A very famous comment of Chazal. A comment of Chazal that's often very enigmatic. Until the Rambam says you'll need a series of Mishnayos in Avos to understand this Gemara, which it tells you in the bottom, Gemara that appears in Shabbos and Adar. Ein ha-Nevuah Shora el al-Chacham Gibar va'Asher. Nevuah will only rest on a person who is a Chacham Gibar va'Asher, who's wise, who's strong, and who's wealthy. So you look at that Maamar Chazal, you're like, really? If you're not a wealthy person, so you can't become a Navi? That's surprising. If you're not physically strong, you can't become a Navi? Really? See, we're not anti-wealthy, but we're not anti-poor either. We're not going to say, oh, you're not rich, well, you have to buy your way into Nevuah? Chas v'shalom. So what are Chazal saying? If you can't bench press 200 pounds and you can't be enough, like, what does this mean? And he says, there's a dictionary that we need to use in reading, interpreting this Maamar Chazal. A series of Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of the fourth parak. The Mishnah asks, who's a Chacham, who's a Gibor, who's an Ashir? So that's the official interpretation. So plug those definitions in here, and all of a sudden, you begin to appreciate what Chazal is driving at. It says, look, Chacham even without reference to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. He says Chacham is kolel hamalos hasichlos below suffik. To say he has to be a Chacham means you need the full complement of Chachma, of malos sichlos. So that's why Rabbi said, that's why I told you before, to be an Avi, you got to have the full intellectual package. If you own the full intellectual package, you're not a bad person. You have whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. It's fine. You could be an amazing person. You could be fully, if a person fully actualizes his potential, whatever his potential was, incredible tzaddik, incredible schar. But to do certain jobs, you need to meet certain absolute qualifications. Not just a question of what I've accomplished relative to what my potential is. Tzidkas and shemaim, that's a relative question. But to do certain jobs, you need certain absolute qualifications. And one of those jobs is a Navi. To be a Navi, you need, if I don't have the mental capacity so that I don't have the channel for HaKadosh Baruch to receive that sort of communication from Shemayim. Okay, so that's the first thing Chazal tells you, got to be a Chacham. So that's the full content that refers to, overall, all the Ma'al Sichlos. And then he says, Yibar and Asher actually refer to some of the malos of Midos. How so? Ashir is mi malos hamidos. It's not a question of what your liquid net worth is. It's a question of his stopkos. The degree of satisfaction I take from what I have. Lefi shehem yikru mistapek b'chelko ashir. Exactly. Zeh ashir samech b'chelko. That's what Chazal say. That when we talk about wealth, it's not a question of absolute numbers. It's a question of what's your sense of that? Whatever the numbers are, how much joy do you take from it, and how much are you hung up on what you don't have? A Jew who takes satisfaction from whatever he has ended up with at this point in time. It takes satisfaction what he has, as opposed to getting too hung up on what he doesn't have. Doesn't mean you're blind to financial realities, but what's my overall reaction? What's my overall emotional reaction to what I do and don't have? So that's Ashiras, and as we know it to be true. And you could have, and current events have reminded us once again that net worth does not automatically, high net worth does not automatically correlate to satisfying life decisions. And vice versa. It's a much more question of what one's attitude is about what one has than the facts on the ground. So Ezehu Asher Samech B'chelko, says the Rambam, he has to be a Chacham, okay, he needs the full complement of intellectual kochos, he has to be an Asher, meaning he has to have this sense of contentment with what he has, spending more time enjoying what he has than yearning for what he doesn't have. And then Gibor, also, Mimalos Amidos. We're not talking about physical strength. We mean moral strength. Shuhu Yanhiko Chosav Lefi Hadas. That his mind, his rational thought, is driving his capabilities. That he's making decisions to use his talents from a place of das. Says, as Chazal say, Ezehu Gibor, Kovish Yisro, self-control. So a Jew who's intellectually gifted and who has both a strong sense of self-control and great contempt for what he has, now he's might be eligible to be a Navi. And then let's go back again. That's how the Rambam opened this paragraph. He said, to be a Navi, one needs to have all of the Ma'al Sechlos and most of the good Midos and certain, some are elective and some are core requirements. Here we have two, Gibor and Asher. Self-control and contentment. He says, and he goes on to say, but you don't have to have everything. Again, we said Chacham, and that covered all of Chacham, but there was no term that covered all of Midos Tovos because you don't need every single Midah Tova in order to be eligible to be a Navi. The Rambam says it's not only because in this comment of Chazal they don't say that you do need all Midas Tovos. He says you open a Tanakh. It's a remarkable passage here in the seventh parak of Shemona Prakim. We don't require that you have every single good midah in order to be a Navi. It's not that any midah ra will disqualify a person being a Navi. Sharei Shlomo Navi ke'edus ha'kasav. Be'givau nira Hashem. Shlomo is not only a king, he is a Navi. The Pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. And even though he's a Navi, matzanelo b'feirush p'chisus midas. It's explicit in the Tanakh that he did have certain weaknesses in his midas. Urova taiva. The zebe ribu hanashim. Exaggerated engagement with a desire, specifically carnal desire. Bezumi peulos tchunas rov hataiva. Going back to language as before, particular behaviors will express certain underlying aspects of personality of Midos. So the fact that he was sought so many women, that's an expression of an underlying exaggerated sense of taiva. As Rama said before, not enough taiva is no good. Too much taiva is no good. We need to have a balanced approach to taiva. Rambam says, you look at the way the Tanakh describes Shlomo Melech, he was not balanced in terms of taiva's nashim. He was clearly off kilter. And Rambam says, and how do I know? The Omar mivoar, how lo al eilach ata Shlomo. The pasuk says that it was a chet. The pasuk says in Nechemiah that this was a chet, and yet he was a navi. How do I know David was a Navi? Clearly a highly spiritual person. How do I know he was a Navi? Not only did he author Tehillim, but Li Diber Tzur Yisrael. David tells us, Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to me. So there you have it. David is a Navi. Umitzanuhu, and here's an interesting Rambam. Mitzanuhu Baal Achzarios. And yet we find David, who was a Navi, is a man with an aspect of cruelty to him. And yet, that cruel aspect did not get in the way of Nevuah. Now, Rama says, cruel aspect? He seems to have handled it well. David HaMelech channeled this violent aspect into appropriate context. At war, by Rachman Yisrael, and he was appropriately kind when he should be. Fascinating. He says, it's true that David channeled that violent streak that Shmuel already saw. He's an Admoni. So David managed to be Mizgaber and channel that violent streak appropriately, and out of those contexts was a kind, soft, gentle, sensitive soul. The sensitive soul that we hear speaking is 150 prakim of Tehillim. As Rama says, could I call him Baal HaChzarius? He says, but Lamasa, he was still disqualified from building the Beis HaMikdash. Be'er b'divra yamish Hashem lo mitzal royal b'in the Beis HaMikdash. L'rov ma'ashaharak. Baruch Hashem tells him through the Navi, you killed so many people, you're not eligible to build Beis HaMikdash. V'arma lo, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash. You've killed so many people. Even though in every situation was appropriate. So fascinating. We often don't look at that. But it's like a fascinating parshanut. So we often look at that pasuk and say, it was all appropriate, but it's like everything was good, everything was proper, but for Beis HaMikdash, you have to be an Ishalom. Rambam say no. The fact that then they get that message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're disqualified to build Beis HaMikdash. It's not to use the Londonish terminology, it's not a unique didn't Beis HaMikdash that Beis HaMikdash needs Shalom. No. The Rabbim says, this is really a statement about David HaMelech. That although overall he channeled his Achzarius as best he could, but Lamasa, it was still off. He did a very good, very impressive job, but still, that midah was a little bit off kilter. After that's why he wasn't allowed to build Beis HaMikdash, because that midah was still not appropriate. It still wasn't as balanced as it could have been. Fascinating approach to pasuk and Divrei Hayamim. And then the Rambam turns around and says, "Ah, your David's still a Navi. So don't tell me." This is going back to what Tzachar was saying. You can be a growing spiritual person, even a Navi, without being perfect. David HaMelech wasn't perfect. Shlomo wasn't perfect. Shlomo had a glaring chisar in the midos, but most of his midos were gevaldic. So he was capable of being a Navi. David HaMelech had this one midah that wasn't aligned properly. So again, a surprising read by the Rambam, because you look at Sefer Tehillim, right? David HaMelech is for us, he's the epitome of a sensitive Jew, sensitive to people, sensitive to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't seem like insensitivity was a mechitza between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a surprising chiddush of the Rambam, but there you have it. But he has other rights. In terms of his yesod, the Nevi'im don't have every midah. You don't have to have every midah in place to be a Navi. He has other rights as well. It says, Eliyahu, Zecher Latov, he has the midas hakas, anger. And once again, he says, look, he used it in appropriate fashion, Kalap Yaakov from the famous showdown, Har HaKarmel, and so on and so forth. But Be'aruch HaChamim, Shehashem Hirchiko. But Lamasa Chazal tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu critiqued him. And Kadosh Baruch Hu pushed back against Eliyahu. Lo Yitzach Levnei Adam HaShir Yishlo Kinoi Kashir Sheshlo. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazal understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu was critiquing Eliyahu. There's too much of a sense of kanos. And he was held back from higher madrigas. And yet, he's clearly a Navi. And he says, and then he's more fascinating. Shmuel Pachad Mishal, Yaakov Nisiyari Mipikisha Zesev. He says, we never look at that. Pchisus Aminus. Shmuel was scared. And he's scared to confront Shaul because what's going to happen? Yaakov is frightened of his encounter with Esav. So Rambam says, after all the explanations, L'maisa, it's still a Pchisus Aminus. We can understand why, but Lamasa, there wasn't a gross priestess in Midas, but there was a fine imperfection in the Midas. And yet, clearly, Shmuel and Yaakovinu were both clearly Nevi'im. The Elamis v'kayotzben, hey, mechitzus ha-Nevi'im aleim ha-shalom. It doesn't disappear. It says, those are the mechitzus. Now let's come full circle. Those are the mechitzus. We say that Yaakovinu is the espakalaria she'ena me'ira. There's something in the way. There's something in the way with Eliyahu. There's something in the way with even Shmuel. Something in the way. This is what it was. Everyone had, there were still midos that were not yet properly developed. There were midos that still needed more. Baruch Hashem, from our perspective, incredible. But b'madrega sam, they still weren't, those midos still were not where they should be. There were still imperfections in midos that didn't disqualify them from being a Navi, but it lowered it somewhat. Misha, and Rambam goes on to say, and we'll close with this. Misha hayu lo mehem shtei midos or shalosh bilti mutzaos. If you had, says the people I just mentioned, it sounds like Rambam is trying to say, the Nevi'im I just mentioned, we know of exactly one midara per person. So they each had one mechitza. Some Navi, there would be Nevi'im that have two midos rows, or three midos rows. Bilti mimutzaos. It says, that were not totally centered, and they weren't exactly balanced, as we described in the fourth parak that midos need to be balanced. So then we would say, "Hu ro'es Hashem me'acharei shtei mechitzas ha'shalosh." Each imperfect midah is another mechitzah to me at Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, and now he comes full circle. Says that's how he opened this parak, that there are mechitzas between us, between a navi and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What are those mechitzas? So he said, in general, a midara is a mechitza between a person and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even for a Navi. It means a midara between the Navi and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we saw in that, the Chacham Gibur V'Yashir, you don't have to have every midah tov in order to be a Navi, but every midara takes away. Every midara is another barrier. And the more I improve my midos, the fewer barriers there are between me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll pick up next time. What remains in this parak is two major points. Number one, he's going to point out, as he already sort of alluded to, it's not true for all midos rows. There are some midos rows that are vetoes. Certain midos rows are disqualifiers. But there are many midos rows, as he said, which aren't disqualifiers, but will reduce. So that's one thing one topic he's going to look at. Which are the midos rows that just are vetoes, which entirely disqualify someone from being a Navi? And then he's also going to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. And to talk a bit about how Moshe Rabbeinu is at the top of this ladder. He's the Aspaklari on the ears. Well, what was? Rambam is going to develop, so it sounds like he didn't have Midos Rose. So then, what was the barrier? It's not only one barrier, but it was It was transparent. What does that mean? It was a barrier, but you could see through. So he's going to develop that. Which are the midos raos that are absolute disqualifiers? And how do we understand what it is that Chazal is trying to tell us about the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's just fascinating. And sort of in stepping away from this parak, we'll bleed out or complete the parak next week. So this is what we can learn practically for ourselves from a study of nevuah. Nevuah seems so abstruse, so beyond us. But yet there are certain concepts. The applications are way beyond us, but the concepts have relevance for us as well. To think that every time you polish a midah, that's, as you said, not only improve my relationship with people, but improve my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you so much.